I'm just going to read a passage from Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts, and we'll probably read from one or two other scriptures as we go on. The reading that we had tonight was taken from Isaiah chapter 53. I changed the reading a bit tonight because if you were in the meeting this morning, passages that I was going to read tonight was read this morning by our brother David Green, and also our brother Woodlands commented on quite a few of the things that I was about to say tonight in the reading. And so I've gone back to Isaiah chapter 53, which actually records the prophecy of what was read this morning 600 years before it actually began. And it tells us about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior, when we read that passage and we read of the account of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts within us, well, it's sad in a way when we think of the cruelty that our Lord Jesus Christ went through at the hands of his creature man, the suffering that he endured when he was down here and making his way to the cross of Calvary. But then in our hearts again, there is that gladness within our hearts, because we know that our Lord Jesus Christ, he went to the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty of your sin and mine. He endured those sufferings that you and I might be redeemed back to God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. And each and every one of us, the Bible tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then there we were destined to go to a lost eternity. But we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 that our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And so when we read that passage in the Bible that gives us the account of the sufferings and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, we afresh again realize just what he endured, and that we might be redeemed back to God. And dear sinner friend, tonight I trust that if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you may be able to say like the hymn we've sung, it was for me. It was for me that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on that cross of Calvary, where he paid the penalty for my sin, and that if I put my faith and trust in him, I will be saved for time and for all eternity. You know, it gives our hearts great joy tonight, because as we have known, and perhaps some do not know, that tomorrow we're going to have a funeral for a man who listened to the message of the gospel, and he's going to be buried tomorrow, but he's going to be happy because he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and we know that he is in the glory with God. But I wonder tonight, dear friend, as you heard these words, I wonder tonight what your position is when you think of the death and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes we as Christians, as we, those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we appreciate that death so much. We appreciate so much what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, that we want to impart that message to you tonight, so that you can come into that very same blessing. But you know, it saddens our heart in many ways when we go about our duties from day to day, and we appreciate the death and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ so much, but as we work and as we travel, and as we listen to the radio, as on the airways in the car sometimes, you know, you seem to be listening to something good. You seem to be enjoying the company of perhaps people that you're traveling with. But then suddenly, somewhere, out of the blue, someone will use the name of the Lord in vain. How many times has that happened? Have you heard that? I've listened to some commentaries on the radio. I've listened to some people talk on the radio. But then all of a sudden, they use the name of the Lord in vain. And my hand goes out, and I feel so terrible about that, and I turn that radio off. And those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't that how we feel? Especially as we go from day to day and we listen to people, and how easily it is that they use the name of the Lord in vain, and it's like, you know, they don't even feel it. But for you and I, who have trusted him as our own and personal Savior, when we hear that, it hurts us to the core, because we know that our Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered, he bled and died on the cross of Calvary, that you and I might be redeemed. But you know, dear friends, tonight it's no wonder my mind goes back to the Apostle Paul, and I think of the last visit that we had overseas. We visited the city of Florence, pretty close to the city of Athens. And as we went into some of these buildings, we saw the architecture, we saw all the handiwork of men in the buildings, and but there was, of course, a little bit of sadness about that. And Paul talks about that tonight, and you know, Paul was one. Well, he loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much too. And we go over to Acts chapter 17, and we read here that in verse 15, and they conducted Paul and brought him to Athens, receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed. They departed. Now verse 16 says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, the Spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And as Paul waited there in Athens, and as he walked around the city, and you know, it hurt his heart as he looked around and he saw people worshipping idols. And when he thought about the Lord Jesus Christ who suffered and bled and died in our room instead, and here were these people, they were worshipping idols. And it says here in verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. And then we find Paul, of course, he was so stirred up about what he had seen. And verse 22 says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, he men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore he ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. So here we find Paul in the city of Athens, and the very scriptures that we have been thinking about as Paul saw these people, how they were worshipping these idols, and it grieved his heart. And we read there how Paul spoke to them and he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And you know, dear friends, tonight you don't really have to go very far to see idol worship, do you? If you go down St. George's Road on the way to Wiley Park, I pass that way every morning, and they're building a temple there. And this has been in the building stages now, I think, for the last 6, 7, 8 years it's been going on. And you know something, that the building's been completed, but outside the building, when you look at it, they making all these weird creatures outside, architecture on the buildings, dragons and all sorts of funny people, and painting them. They're actually taking longer to paint those statues than they are, and they're done to do the building. And I'm wondering when they're really going to start to have a meeting there. But the work that they're putting in to this architecture outside, all these strange creatures and people outside the building, whom obviously it's things that they worship, idols, and how they cover them up. So that's right very under our very noses, these idols that people worship today. And if you go into the city at certain times, at certain festivals, we will find all sorts of things that people worship. And no doubt last week perhaps our brother John Short may have mentioned a few things as well concerning idol worship. And you know, Paul, he was very, very upset when he saw all this, and he thought to himself, now how can they do this when, you know, they worshipping a dead thing? Neither is worship with men's hands, things that they've made to worship. And Paul was really, really stirred up within himself. But you know, dear friends, tonight there are so many things, isn't it? What is an idol? Perhaps you may say, well, I don't worship any idols. I don't go to these funny creatures and things like that. Well, you know, I went to a school, and in that school, in the first years of my school, they virtually worshipped the statue. And if the kids mucked up in the classroom, they'd take the statue away and put it somewhere else. And, well, it was something to behold. But you know, we worship a living God today, one who died and was buried and rose again, as Paul told these people, and is seated in heaven right now. But you know, there's so many other different idols. And what is an idol? An idol really is something that keeps us from God, isn't it? Keeps us from the true and living God. Something that comes in between. You know, we said that the gift of God, the wages of sin, is death. And that caused separation between us and God. But we praise God tonight that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, these idols, they come in very many different ways. And tonight I want you to just think about your situation, how it stands between you and God. And why is it Why is it that you have not trusted him as your own and personal Savior, seeing he paid that great price on Calvary's cross? When we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, there is a form of an idol. A rich young ruler. He was very rich. He worshipped his riches. That was his idol. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, he knew all about eternal life. He had heard it being spoken about. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, well, he spoke to him about his life. And he said, "Look, I've been a good person. I've done all these things." And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Sell what thou hast. Give it to the poor. And come and follow me." Well, you know something, dear friends? How sad. His riches was his idol, and it kept him from God. And the Bible tells us that this man, when the Lord Jesus Christ told him this, he went away sorrowful. There was no way he was going to give up his riches. That was what he worshipped. That's what was separating him from God. We have a rich man in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, a rich farmer. And we find that he was very successful in his farm life. And he accumulated much goods. And what happened? He said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up in store for many years." He said, "I'll build bigger barns wherewith to bestow my goods, to store my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Here was a man, he was successful. Perhaps you have some measure of success in the world today, dear friends. I know it, I see it in business life sometimes, people who are successful. And they're so successful that there's no thought for God in their lives at all. "I'm doing okay. I'm managing my life okay. I'm successful. I'm doing all right." No thought for God whatsoever. But what did God say to this man? "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be?" His success was his idol. It was keeping him from God. We come to another situation in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and there we see two men. And they came to the temple to pray. And the one man, he stood there and he smote upon his breast and he said, "Oh, Lord, I thank you that I am not like these other people. I do a lot of good. I fast every day. And I give to the poor." And, well, he was just telling God all the good things that he was doing and expected God to have mercy on him. What was his idol? Good works. He was going about doing good. And that was what he thought was going to get him into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us that our good works are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Once we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and you know, asked him to come into our lives and then we go out and do these good works, well, that's good then. But the first thing we have to do is to make sure that our lives are right, that our sins are forgiven, that our name is recorded in heaven's book of life. And so what happened? The man right next door to him? Well, this is all he said. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know, dear friends, that's all it's needed tonight. It's for you to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you. And He wants you to trust Him as your own and personal Savior. You know something? This passage of Scripture is often linked with worship. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, we have a story about 10 men. And they were lepers. And you know something? The Lord Jesus Christ healed these 10 men. And one of them came back to say thank you. One of them came back to thank the Lord for what He had done. And the Lord said to him, were they not 10? Where are the other 9? But you know, dear friends, tonight, what that speaks to me about as I think about it is there anybody here tonight and the Lord's been good to you? You know, the Lord maketh the sun to shine on the good and the bad and on everybody. And we all enjoy blessings from His hand, be it one thing or another. Traveling on the roads, safety, the air we breathe, the homes we have. God showers us with these blessings from day to day. Health. Have you been in a situation where perhaps you've been very ill and concerned about your health? And then God has answered someone's prayers and you've been maybe brought back again to good health and strength? You know, this man here, these 9 men that never came back, to me, they sort of remind me of people whom perhaps God has spoken to in a certain way, whether it be perhaps through our physical health or whatever. And He's healed us. Suddenly these men, they looked at themselves and they said, oh, look, terrific, we made whole. You know, no more sores, everything's fine. We feel great, we feel fit and healthy. Let's go on our way and continue to do what we always did before and enjoy ourselves. And so they never went back to God, but that physical fitness or whatever it might be was their idol. And they were fit and healthy. And off they went again to do the things that they perhaps used to do, forgetting about what God had done in their lives. The one man, he went back and gave thanks. Tonight, dear friends, God has been good to you. The fact that you're sitting in this gospel meeting tonight, He's been good to you, He's been good to me, He's been good to all of us. Are you going to say thank you tonight? Are you going to realize tonight that it was for you that He died on Calvary's cross? And are you going to trust Him as your Savior? A great supper was made, and people were invited to this great supper. And you know what happened? There were some more idols there. The one man said, oh, I've married a wife and I cannot come. I've married a wife and I cannot come. The family kept him from God. There was another man, he said, oh, I've bought some land and I must go and inspect it. He had property deals, kept him from God. The other man said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go and try them. Those oxen came into the way and he never took the invitation to attend this wedding feast. That wedding feast, dear friends, speaks to us of that wedding feast that we're going to enjoy one day in the presence of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is sending out the invitation tonight. He's sounding out that invitation. You know, there's a man way back in South Africa. Maybe it's like some of our achievements that we have in the world today. And this man, Mr. Linus, he worked for the University of Cape Town. Did you know what his job was? He was the chief confectioner at the University of Cape Town. it might sound a woo, you know. But anyway, he was a bachelor, and he came to live with a dear old sister that attended the church that we went to the gospel hall. And he came along to the gospel meetings. And he enjoyed the gospel meetings. And she used to give suppers after gospel meetings at her home. And you know something? The young people went along, and Mr. Linus made sure that he went along as well. He stayed there. He made sure that he stayed back. You know why? Because he was the greatest cake maker. And he said, the young people are coming tonight. I'm going to make a cake. And he really got involved in this cake making. Well, he made cakes for the university. He made cakes for big occasions, whether it be the president's party or whatever it be. He was behind it. And he made sure that he came along to these suppers and made sure that he made those cakes that the young people could enjoy. And you know something? He heard the gospel. He heard the gospel. And we spoke to him quite often. But, you know, I think his profession there, cake making, he used to say, oh, well, you know, what's going to happen if I become a Christian? You know, all these big functions that I go to, all these big functions that I attend, that I make this wonderful cakes for, and it's often get spoken about. What's going to happen to all that? All these achievements, you see? We kept speaking to him. And the other thing he said was, well, when I'm 50, maybe then I'll give my heart to the Lord. Well, dear friends, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So if he's speaking to your heart today, dear friend, I pray that you will trust him, because it might not be so tomorrow. I don't know whether Mr. Linus ever trusted the Lord as his Savior, since I left South Africa 30 years ago. But there it is. There was a wonderful family in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And there was a famine in that land. And Mum and Dad said to the two boys, we've got to leave this country. We've got to go to another land where there's food. And so off they went to the land of Moab, where there was plenty to eat and plenty good things. But you know something, dear friends? The land of Moab, the city of Moab, they were idol worshippers. They sacrificed humans to the gods. They were idol worshippers. And this family that had gone there, well, they believed in God. They trusted in God. And the father died. And the two sons married daughters from the Moabites. But you know, there was Mum, she was faithful. And she spoke to them about God. She brought God's word to them. She taught them about the scriptures, about God, about the days in the wilderness. And one of the girls, her name was Ruth. And she believed what Naomi had told her. And you know, the two sons died as well. And then Naomi said to the two daughters-in-law, she said, look, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. Everything's going fine there now. Everything's well. I'm going back, and you girls can stay. Well, you know something? Orpah stayed in that town of idol worshippers. People who did not think about God. But Ruth, she made a decision. And she believed what Naomi had told her. And she said, entreat me not to leave thee. Whither thou goest, I will go. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. Whither thou goest, I will follow. And there will I be buried. So she made a decision. She left the idol worship. And she followed after God. You know that Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, I'll just read this verse here. Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, he says these words. He says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Isn't that wonderful, dear friend? No need to worship idols, because God is there, and tonight He wants you to put your faith and trust in Him. Dear friends, I just want you to think about that. Think about that and ask yourself the question, what's keeping me from trusting God?